Today's scripture is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, and that's on page 12 of the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the gift of this quiet place. And we pray that now in this time you would speak to us, that we might hear your word and your life for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am in a weekly accountability group with four other women, and we meet every Friday for lunch to share the joyful and sometimes painful stories of what God is doing in our lives. This past Friday, we were planning to celebrate the birthday of one of the women in our group. And so on Thursday evening, I baked a chocolate tart to take to the birthday celebration on Friday. My husband, Scott, came home Thursday night and saw and smelled the warm chocolate tart and asked what he's asked for the past 19 years of our married life when I've baked for some other special occasion. May I please have just a tiny slice? Now, it was only through God's grace and that we had just celebrated our wedding anniversary the night before that after 19 years of me saying, no, you may not cut the cake, it's for church, or no, you may not cut the pie, it's for my friends, or no, don't even think about touching that, it's for the party, I said, okay. And so I cut him a piece of the chocolate tart. Well, you know, then it's already ruined, right? So I went ahead and had a little piece myself, too. But then I was left with this dilemma of how do I present this tart with the missing wedge to my friend's birthday party? And so I got some of daughter Grace's colored craft paper, and I cut a wedge-shaped piece to fit over the missing piece of the pie, and I handed it to Scott, and I asked him to write a note to the birthday girl, who was also a friend of his. I think I had in mind some sort of confessional greeting like, happy birthday, thanks for the piece of pie, which I stole out of your birthday pie. I owe you one from my birthday cake in September, or something like that. But instead, Scott wrote a line from a Leonard Cohen song, and so on Friday, I presented this lovely chocolate tart with fluted butter crust, topped with dollops of mascarpone cheese and mounds of raspberries, with a triangular piece of blue paper on top. And when the piece of paper, with Scott's very familiar handwriting to these women, was removed and this missing wedge was revealed underneath, then screeching laughter ensued at Scott's expense. However, the words written on the triangle of paper were a good reminder to the five of us women, the five of us who work hard at being good women, good moms, good wives, good sisters, good daughters, good aunties, good Christians, that we are not perfect, And that in fact, God's grace is made perfect in our weakness. For on that blue triangle of paper, on top of the gaping crack in the no longer perfect chocolate tart, were these simple words. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. It's difficult for us to forget our perfect offering, isn't it? Whether at home, working on dinner, or helping with homework, or in the office, working on the deal, or in the classroom, working on exams, we strive for perfection. Even in our walk with God, it is tempting to turn our devotional life into some sort of challenge or drudgery that's got to be done well, one more skill to perfect or thing at which to excel. We are a people who need a little R&R, a little rest and relaxation. But if you are like me, then you know that a summer holiday doesn't provide the kind of fix that we really need. Often I return from my holiday feeling like I need a holiday to recover from my holiday. In our text today, Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Frederick Bruner, in his commentary on Matthew, says, "Jesus' invitation goes out to all those for whom life has become a grind, for whom existence is laborious, to those, in a word, from whom the juice has gone out of life and all that's left is the rind, to those burdened with guilt or inadequacy." Do you hear the invitation being offered to you today? Come to me, Jesus says. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. We had a funeral here 3 weeks ago for a 30-year-old friend from community church who died of cancer less than 6 months after being diagnosed. She was engaged to be married, and I couldn't help but look at the extravagant pink and lavender flowers that were up in this chancel area and wonder if those were the colors that she had chosen for her wedding. She leaves behind a fiancé and a family that are devastated, and Jesus says to them and to us, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." I must confess to you that the death of one so young leaves me wanting to curl up in a little ball under a warm blanket and hide from the world for a while. Some of you here this morning know that feeling because you work in professions where you see pain and suffering regularly. Sometimes just watching the news can leave us longing for an escape from the heaviness of it all. But Jesus' invitation to come to him for rest isn't an invitation to check out of life or to deny life's difficulties. It is a rest that comes from being bound to and in step with him. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." As many of you know, in Jesus' day, like today, a yoke was a wooden instrument that went across the shoulders of two oxen, hooking them together and allowing them to work as a team. And throughout the ages, Christian writers have reflected on the weirdness of this work instrument that Jesus offers as a means of rest. One modern commentator writes, "To call those who are weary and heavy laden to take a yoke upon them looks like adding affliction to the afflicted. They need a mattress or a vacation, not a yoke." And he goes on to say, but Jesus realizes that the most restful gift he can give the tired is a new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. A new way to carry life, a fresh way to bear responsibilities. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." In Jesus' day, the term yoke was also a familiar metaphor for servitude and obedience, and good Jews frequently referred to being under the yoke of the Torah, which was the law of God given to Moses. Being under the yoke of the Torah meant being obedient to God's law. And Jesus invokes that very familiar rabbinic phrase, under the yoke of the Torah, when he invites the weary and burdened to be yoked with him, the Messiah, rather than to the law of Moses. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." In other words, we are to go to Jesus, to be bound to Jesus, to observe Jesus, to learn to live the life he lived and taught. And if you go home today and read Matthew chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, you will realize that there are a lot of laws in Jesus' teaching. They are hard things to hear and hard things to obey. Things like love your enemies, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. You cannot serve both God and money. Do not worry about your life. Do not judge, or you will be judged. Blessed are those who mourn. These words may be easy to read from the printed page, but they are hard to live out in our relationships with others, in our everyday life, which is why being yoked to the teachings of the Messiah Jesus without being yoked to Jesus himself was and is impossible. Almost 140 years ago, that great British preacher Charles Spurgeon said this: "When oxen are yoked, there are generally two. I have watched them in northern Italy and noticed that when two are yoked together and they are perfectly agreed, the yoke is always easy to both of them. If one were determined to lie down and the other to stand up, the yoke would be very uncomfortable. But when they are both of one mind, you will see them look at each other with those large, lustrous brown eyes of theirs so lovingly, and with a look they read each other's minds, so that when one wants to lie down, down they go. Or when one wishes to forward, forward they both go, keeping step. In this way, the yoke is easy." Spurgeon continues saying, "Now I think the Savior says to us, I am bearing one end of the yoke on my shoulder. Come, my disciple, place your neck under the other side of it, and then learn of me, keep step with me, be as I am, do as I do. I am meek and lowly in heart. Your heart must be like mine." You know, if you think about the posture involved here, in order for us to come alongside Jesus and place our neck under the other side of his yoke, close enough to see the look in his eye, then we must bow our spirit to his. And we have to keep bowing in order to keep the yoke in the right place and comfortable. Is that hard for you? I find that the posture of gentle and humble bowing is not my normal default position. The past 19 years of saying, no, you may not have a piece of that cake, is proof of that. Do you have trouble with that? You know, when we are proud of spirit, when we are defensive or irritable or discouraged or offended, then what happens is we become very stiff-necked. And when we are a stiff-necked people, it is difficult to become Christ's yoke-mate. Not because he won't have us, but because we will not humble ourselves to have him. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. The problem that we face if we won't humble ourselves to be yoked to Christ is that we remain restless people. And of course, restlessness has to do with not having any rest. St. Augustine prayed, God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this rest for our souls that Jesus offers us is an interior thing. It is not dependent upon external circumstances. And so what that means is that in the midst of a wobbly economy or H1N1 or political unrest or violence in the world today, it means that in a place where young people die before they've had a chance to fully live, Jesus invites us to come and to be yoked to him and find rest for our souls. And the good news for the church today is this. His is a yoke that fits each one of us perfectly. It will not be restrictive or cumbersome to us, for it will be the life lived in step with his perfect will, which is to love us perfectly. His life was the one perfect offering. Today he offers it again to you and to me. At the end of our friend's funeral, the gathered church stood as a community yoked to Christ, and through the tears we sang out, in Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when strivings cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Do you want a new way to live your life, or a fresh way to deal with your reality? Are you living as though you are half dead? If so, come to Jesus and fully live. Let's be quiet with the Lord for a while.